from University of Florida, and he's going to talk to us about advances in post-harvest plastics.
Thanks, Josh. So, here we go. Okay, so this is an area that I think most of us are somewhat familiar with, because when we're talking about post-harvest, we're talking to a large extent about consumer packaging, and we're all aware of how much of what we purchase is in plastic packaging. At the farm and packing house level, there's also examples of plastic packaging. These plastic field bins have become much more common recently, replacing the traditional wood field bins. A big factor related to that is the concern for food safety, because these are more easily washed and sanitized. There are shipping cartons, plastic. Walmart is very big into the returnable plastic containers. This is a sweet corn container, which is corrugated plastic meant to be a replacement for the traditional wire-bound wooden crates. But what I'm talking about mainly, that we're mostly familiar with, all of us here, I'm sure, are all of these different consumer-level packages, retail-level packages, either rigid or flexible packaging. And that's what I'll talk about most. I got this figure of 185 pounds of plastic waste per capita in the U.S. from an EPA document from 2012. So that may be an underestimate for 2017. I'm not sure, but that's still a lot of plastic that we're generating. About 10% of the total waste in the U.S. is plastic. We already heard a little bit about recycling, and there's going to be another talk about recycling. Not a lot of plastic is actually recycled. The PET and high-density polyethylene are recycled at a rate of about maybe 30%, and the rest of the plastic's not recycled very much at all. Overall, the rate is probably 15% or less. And there's alternatives now that you've already heard mentioned as well: starch, cellulose, other plant-based biopolymers that mimic plastics. And these are being looked into for their biodegradability. Bioplastics are, by definition, things made from plastic materials. And these are things that are typically designed to be biodegradable or compostable. To what extent they actually are composted or biodegraded is questionable. But some of these are being developed, and even some consumer packages are made from these kind of materials now. Polylactic acid is something that's fairly common. The first time I encountered these, they were clamshells for strawberries. And some of the initial versions, PLA has a somewhat low melting point, and they were actually encountering that the clamshells were becoming tacky and sticking together when they were stacked in the field. And the newer versions of those now have additives that has increased the melting point, so that's not such an issue anymore. I don't think I'm going to go into details on everything, because we're behind a little bit, and some of this is the same as what's used in production plastics. So there's now additives that will help plastic products degrade in the environment. So the additives are engineered to help the petrochemicals break down more quickly. An example in the post-harvest or consumer area is photodegradable or oxy-degradable. How do I go back up? My arrows don't work. I don't know how to go back on this. Okay. Grocery bags that are either photodegradable or oxy-degradable are available now. I haven't personally seen them, but they do exist. Compostable packaging, Carol already covered this. And so I don't think I need to go into any detail other than to mention that there are consumer packages that fit that definition. Recyclable packaging. So there are a lot of plastics that are capable of being recycled, but the rate at which they're recycled is not actually very high. And I think it was already mentioned that really the limiting factor of that is the demand for the recycled plastic products. That's what determines how much is actually getting recycled. I was actually told by someone in the industry that the advertisements you see promoting packaging, this is sort of a public service or promotional type of thing on the part of the plastics industry to make people feel better about using plastics. But in fact, they don't recycle a whole lot of the consumer plastics. So there's a lot of different categories now, and I don't know how many of you have seen this type of thing. I did see this kind of a recycled plastic collection area in a grocery store in Redmond, Washington recently. So it's happening in some places. Haven't seen it in Florida. But there's just, I guess I'm repeating the message, there's potential for much more repackaging or recycling rather than is done now. So this is the area that I'm think that I have a little bit of expertise in, packaging to extend produce shelf life. And this is something you may not be as much aware of, is the extent to which the packages that fruits and vegetables are sold in are actually designed to create a modified atmosphere composition inside that slows the metabolic rate of the fruits and vegetables, supplementing the temperature management, with low temperature being the normal number one method for maintaining the quality of fruits and vegetables post-harvest. This area of modified atmosphere packaging really became much more prevalent along with the development of fresh cut products. So we all see fresh cut salads in the grocery stores, and what the manufacturers of these products determined very quickly was that they didn't have sufficient shelf life to make it through the distribution system just using temperature management, because you've wounded the product by cutting it, peeling it, chopping it, whatever. The respiration rate increases in response to that wounding. The shelf life goes down because the metabolic rate is much higher. So almost all of that product that you see, virtually all of it, is in a modified atmosphere package. So it has semi-permeable plastic films and laminates, primarily laminates actually, not simple single layer films, that have different rates of permeability to oxygen and CO2, and they're designed to balance the respiration rate of the product. So the influx of oxygen balances the consumption of oxygen by the product, and the outflow of CO2 balances with the CO2 being produced by the product, so that you get a reduced oxygen, elevated CO2 atmosphere inside. And these also, they have to also consider the water transmission properties, because the fresh cut products lose water very easily, so you have to be able to maintain a water saturated atmosphere inside the package. Something not as widely used, but for which there's been a lot of research and is being used to some extent and a little bit more and more, is what's called active packaging or smart packaging. And that's where you have incorporated into the package, either as an additive, as like a sachet or something like that, or actually part of the package material itself, something that either releases chemical or absorbs chemical. So you could have, for example, an oxygen scavenging chemical inside the product, or you could have something that absorbs ethylene. Ethylene is something that promotes ripening and senescence of fruits and vegetables. And both of those are somewhat common. There's actually a poster by Randy Beaudry's group at Michigan State where they're looking at different materials, inert materials, that either will capture or release different compounds. And as an application of that, they demonstrated that you could actually ripen bananas in a consumer bag by controlled release of ethylene. And then these packages are actually quite complicated engineering designs. As I mentioned, they're typically laminates. If you look at the published research, current published research coming out of academia and government research institutions, most scientists like us are still using simple single-layer films. But in fact, in the commercial world, these are very complicated films with a lot of different requirements in terms of marketing, the gloss, the clarity, the stiffness. Have you ever noticed that whenever you buy potato chips or corn chips, the package is a very crinkly type of material? That's because it gives the consumer a perception of freshness of the product inside, that it's more crispy. So they choose things like this. And if you look at salads, sometimes the salads are in a stiff packaging, and sometimes they're in a very flexible packaging. So that has to do with the marketing. Anti-fog, they're treated with anti-fog materials on the interior. Because of that high water content, when temperature fluctuates, you can get condensation of water on the film, which actually impedes your ability to see what's inside the package. Puncture resistance, flex crack resistance. They have to consider how easily you can print the high color graphics on the outside as well. In terms of the production of the product itself, the machine setup is very important because all of this filling of the packaging is completely automated, the filling and the sealing. So the way the plastic can move through the machinery, how easily it can move through the machinery, is an important consideration. So I think I maybe caught us up a minute or two on that talk. That's all I have. Thank you. Yeah.
I wanted to point out that one of your slides has an error. So
okay.
You mentioned on the slide, the cutlery slide was biodegradable materials, and then you had examples of biodegradable and oxy-degradable. And
yeah.
Neither one of those products are biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
Biodegradable is light, and oxy is oxygen, and neither one of those activities are biological. And it's really important that this group understands that, because biodegradable, oxy-degradable materials are not
Thank you. That's a very good point, because they caught me on that.
Yeah, and they'll tell you they're biodegradable, but they are not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you comment on the plastic that looks like that same way you cook food in the bag? So the beans come in a bag and you stick it in the microwave. And
you mean what allows the package to be microwaved? Right. Certain plastics are microwave safe, and it has to do with compounds in the plastic that may be released on the heat and actually migrate into the food. So that's the issue there. A microwave safe plastic container won't allow any of the components to migrate into the food. How that is done, I do not know the details of that.